Join That Sexy Thing for Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for Living Way Out Here. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. And here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 12th of July. It's a Tuesday. I guess everybody probably figured out that we had a pre-record last night, and that's going to try to make that a regular feature here on Mondays. We're looking at some changes. We don't know what we want to do yet, but we're thinking about a number of different things. One thing that we have Amy and I have agreed on is that we want to make every effort to make sure you have a fresh pre-record of both the Shooting Bench and her show, Living Way Out Here, on Monday nights. It's been very hectic, a lot of travel and stuff here for the last month, and we haven't been very diligent in getting that done. It's just been nearly impossible to do that. But we do have every intention next Monday of starting that, so you will have one, at least one, fresh new show of Amy on Mondays. As we said, her work schedule is going to preclude her doing very much other than that until September, or until something else happens with that one job there. So, and I'm going to do a pre-record on Monday unless something very significant happens and it requires more current, requires my presence, let's put it that way. And if that happens, then I'll be live on Monday nights. Now, the things that we're looking at, a couple of different things. We could keep it like it is, but we're kind of disinclined to want to do that. If we got a lot of feedback, if that's what everybody thinks they had to have, well, we would make an attempt to do it. Some of the options, one of the things we're looking at here is we haven't been getting none of the contributions and things, the donations we had hoped to get to keep everything going. So that's kind of putting a damper on things. So we'll see, and I'm disinclined also to get sponsors and those that want to neuter the way we do things. We've run without sponsors now ever since Survival Circle started, which will be 2 years this coming December. We did have some sponsors prior to that when we were with Just Measures for, 4 years? 4 years, I think, with Just Measures. 3 or 4, I don't remember. And to have some sponsors there that kept everything running pretty well. So what I've thought about doing, and y'all tell me what you think about this. I've considered, matter of fact, a good friend and longtime listener has suggested this quite a while back, and I didn't really give it a serious thought. I passed over it and and didn't think about it too hard, but now it's making more sense what he said. And that is to do two or three hour shows a week. Two or three hour shows a week. Let's see, Peanut Rider says there is no sound. What happened to the sound? Let me check and see here. It looks like it's good there. Is anybody besides Peanut Rider having problems? Okay, if one person's getting it 5x5, then everybody should be. It'll be a individual problem there. Okay, David Cowell, welcome, my brother. How have you been? Been a long time since we saw you. Actually, you did drop in here a couple of weeks ago, but I haven't seen you for a long time. Glad you made it in for a little while. I know it gets late pretty fast out in your part of the country, so glad you can make it in for a little bit anyway. So anyway, I was thinking about doing D-Shoots. Brady, I haven't seen you for a long time, too. Man, coming in out of the woodwork here. What I pondered on doing was doing a pre-record on Monday and then doing either a 2 or 3 hour show on Wednesday and Friday. Now, I don't know if that would, that's going to be pretty late. If I did that, I would probably start on Amy's time, because then when she comes back, it still won't interfere with her, because she didn't do a show on Wednesday or Friday anyway. So I would run from 7 to 10 Pacific time, or 8 to 10 Pacific time, one or the other, 2 or 3 hours. And another change that I'm looking at doing is maybe charging 99 cents or something like that for the podcast. If we get, and obviously we'll lose a few, because there's some people are just not willing to help, period. You need it for 99 cents. But, I think we'll retain a good many of them. And Kilogram, welcome. And welcome to all of you, actually. I'm just naming these guys off here that are not regular fixtures here. Kaboy, I'm not sure who that is, but I'm glad you dropped in. So that's kind of the options. Either a 2 or 3 hour show on Wednesdays and Fridays, and our regular pre-record on Mondays. And that would probably be, I'm not sure whether it'd be 1 or 2 hour on Monday. I'm still tossing this around. We just came up with this. We just started thinking about it tonight, so there's no rush. If we do decide to change something, it's probably going to take place probably the 1st of August. Give us a couple of weeks to make up our mind what we're going to do, and then market it a little bit. I may move it on a little farther than that. I may move it on to the middle of August. But I need to have some feedback here. You guys can, it's hard to keep track of it on the chat, but I'll try. An email or a text, for those of you that have the number, would be a better way to tally everything. Or if you're just a podcast listener and not on the chat regularly, then you can drop me an email. And that email is still active, by the way. I haven't been using it, but you can either send it to, let's just make it easy for you. Send it to theshootingbench@live.com. That one is active and been used for a long time. Hey, Matt. Okay, I know who it is now. I'm glad you dropped in here. Good deal. Anyway, that's what we're looking at. So here's your options. Pre-record on Monday is a done deal. Whether it's 1 or 2 hours, not sure yet. But that's going to happen. Amy is going to be a pre-record on Monday until sometime in September. And then she'll come back to her regular schedule. I'm thinking about doing either 2 or 3 hours Wednesday and Friday, because that will not interfere with Amy when she comes back. And the either 2 or 3 hours for those. And what else was I? Oh, and then I'm looking at probably charging 99 cents for the podcast. Like I said, I know we'll lose a few people that don't want to do that, but somehow we're going to continue to try to pay the bills here without it always coming out of my pocket every month, and or having to get sponsors and stuff. So that's what we're looking at. I need to have some feedback, so let me know. All right, let's move on. Let's get into bigger and better things. I'm not going to go through our training schedule right now. We went through that pretty thoroughly last night, I believe. So we'll, and it's also on our website at the shooting bench, I'm sorry, at southwestshootingauthority.com. One thing I will mention is we do have some interest in that class in Iowa. So if you are, I've actually got a couple of people that are reasonably well confirmed to do the class in Iowa. So if we can get some more interest in that, we will make put that one on the schedule and call it a done deal. We do have two carbine classes coming up. We've got a class in New Mexico coming up. Radio Doc, I know they ought to be able to afford 99 cents, but some people just won't. You know, it just won't do it. So it'll piss a few people off, undoubtedly, but that's just one of those things. I've got to be able to pay for things here. 305, that would be a good deal. Get stationed out here. We'd love to have you out here, and we'll try to accommodate you if you happen to make it. Be sure and let me know. Best way to do that is either in the chat right here or, hey, JB Ellison made it in also. Either contact me on the chat or, like I said, the email, theshootingbench@live.com. And for you guys back east, think about that class in Iowa, and we will make that happen. We're looking at doing that probably sometime mid to late September. So, all right, there is a war on cops right now. I don't know if you guys have been watching the news. Unbelievable. We talk often about cops enforcing unconstitutional laws and doing things, but you know, yeah, we mean it when we say it. It doesn't mean we dislike them. It doesn't mean we want to see them killed and injured. We don't want to see them harassed and their families harassed and all that. We would like for them to abide by the oath that they took. It doesn't mean that we want to have an all-out war with them. And this Black Lives Matter bunch and probably some others, the Black Panthers, and have absolutely declared war on these cops. There's one here, an off-duty St. Louis police officer shot and killed a man that broke into his home Saturday evening. This is this story is today. Broke into his home and guy, let's see, somewhere on down here said he tossed piece of concrete through his window, and anyway, wound up killing him. And there was, let me see here, I've got another one. Actually, I've got several more. Here's a man in Indianapolis, fired 17 shots into an officer's patrol car and his home, all the time screaming that he hates police. Isaiah Crowell, you guys heard that? The ball player posted that picture that went immediately viral of a cop having his throat slit. It was an animated graphic, but it was still, I mean, it looks real. San Antonio Police Department headquarters hit by gunfire. I mean, there was 21 officers injured at the in St. Paul. This was, when was this, Friday or Saturday, when the St. Paul Freeway protests went violent. I'm having a hard time talking tonight, getting some extra syllables tossed in there that I don't need. Wow. Anyway, all this stuff going on all over the country right now, and I can assure you that it's not going to do us any good in any remote stretch here. I'm going to kill a couple of rumors here. No, I'm not. I'm going to tell you about another one. Here's another officer whose spine was shattered when a protester dropped a concrete block off of an overpass, dropped it on his head. So what we can expect out of this is much more tense traffic stops. I would suggest that if you like to play games with the cops, that you think seriously about refraining from that for the time being. Might not be a bad idea, especially in these metropolitan areas, to stop fully at stop signs and abide by the speed limit and all that, just to try to avoid any confrontations here. They're on edge, and rightfully so. There's no question that there is absolutely a full-fledged war on cops right now. There have been, I haven't counted, I should have kept track from the beginning, but there's probably, what has there been now? 5, 6, 7, 8. There's been at least 8 or 9 that have been, probably 8 that's been killed. There's been a few more that's been shot. And there's been a lot more that's been injured by debris and fire and rocks and everything else from these protesters. It's getting stupid out there. And there will be a statement by us here. Hopefully I'll get around to it tonight and get it out, that we will stand by those men and women in blue, and if something happens and they need help, will they take advantage of it? Probably not. You know, we've offered our help numerous times for crowd control and search and rescue and stuff like that, and told them we're always available. If it's you know, it's free, we're trained. Feel free to give us a holler if you need it. But nevertheless, I want them to know, at least here locally, that that we are here to help them if anything were to come about. And whether they ask or want it or not, if any of us happen to be in the area where a cop's come under attack, whether it be gunfire, rocks, vehicles, whatever the case may be, we will take it upon ourselves to assist, to help, if it looks like there's a, you know, if it's advantageous to the officer. We're not going to make things worse. And like these guys in Dallas, one of the things that, excuse me, my goodness, hang on here a minute. Dang, I think I swallowed a bug there or something. But, you know, the mayor of Dallas has, I don't have the story in front of me, but he is bad-mouthing the legal open carriers there that had open rifles, open carrying them during this day, which is perfectly legal. But, you know, in a situation like that, the thing, if you're worried about getting shot, stay home. I don't think that it was probably the brightest idea for these, and don't get me wrong, because I am absolutely 100% for carrying a gun when it's legal 100% of the time. And I'm pretty much 100% for carrying one when it's not legal most of the time, just because. But I do think that sometimes you have to use a little bit of common sense. And it just seems to be in such short supply, such a rare commodity these days, this common sense of which I speak. And I'm not sure where you get it, or if you can, you know, if you can buy clues at Walmart maybe. But in a situation like that, why were you marching around out there open carrying a rifle? I can see the other side, they were doing it to get their point across. And so do you think if you're carrying one that you're going to back somebody down? Are they going to say, oh boy, there's some rednecks over there carrying a rifle, maybe we better rethink this? No, actually, probably what they'll do will shoot you if it come to that. And the cops may, because they can't, you know, you're dressed just like the other one. It's hard for the cops to disseminate. Wow. Hard for the cops to figure out which one they need to shoot, if any of them. So I just think it would have been a much better idea have a handgun carried discreetly. Two handguns carried discreetly if you need to. But I really think that carrying a rifle in a situation like that is a really stupid idea. Really stupid. No, we're out of luck. It looks like Yakima Glock was at Walmart just now, and he says there are no clues in the clue section at Walmart. So I'm not sure where we're going to get these clues and get this common sense all put together, but Walmart doesn't, apparently is not going to help us any. So, and I've said this from the very beginning, you know, when they started this, the things that got Starbucks and some of these other places to not want open carriers in there. Well, it wasn't because of people carrying handguns. It was because of idiots carrying rifles. When you get up and get dressed in the morning and put your handgun on, I make no... what's the word I'm looking for? I don't do anything out of the ordinary. I don't decide where I'm going to go. I don't not go some places because it might offend somebody or anything like that. I get dressed, put my gun on every single day of the year for years and years and years, and I don't even think about it. I do not, however, strap on a rifle and go downtown. Now, if it was something that was done routinely, if we were in a hostile area like, Israel or somewhere where we really needed to, then people probably wouldn't think anything about it. But we're not, at least not yet. So, that's right, Peanut Rider. That's exactly where the rifle is. The rifle stays in the truck, and then if you need it, you run and get it. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why people do it. The same thing we talked about at this, where was I at just recently? Oh, that Liberty, show, whatever it was, up in Orem, Utah. Very few people carrying guns. When I went to the expo in Washington, lots of people carrying guns. But you can pick out the ones that do it just for show, just to go out, try to make a political statement, just trying to do what the big boys do. You can pick those out in a heartbeat. And that ticks me off. You know, if you don't wear it all the time, you don't wear it at all. Don't put it on just to come out. That means that person is probably has the potential of being one of the most dangerous people out there. And because they are, it's unlikely that they have, much if any training. Their mindset is not such, probably, that would make them an asset if something were to happen. So I'm very much opposed to that. If you wear it, wear it. Wear it all the time. Like to kilogram and put it on, forget about it. Yeah, every day. I don't... It just becomes so natural that it's... I don't know, it's just all the time, all the time. All right. Well, I'll be back here in a minute. We've got several more things we've got to cover before this is over with, so we'll be back in, 4 or 5 minutes, something like that. Maybe it'll be less than that if I don't get everything working right here. So why is it not working right? Well, I know why. Because I should have had them all ready to go prior to sitting down here.
Superman.
There you go. Now
Superman,
we got it.
Superman.
Superman. He ain't good enough for me. Superman.
Going to agree, our freedoms are waning and we'll lose our liberty, slipping one by one until there's nothing left to see. Are you willing to stand with me? Are you just going to let it be? The ranchers are first, but brother, next it may be me. We all stand together or we'll hang separately. Are you going to the tree? Are you willing to be free? It won't get any easier to regain lost liberty. Strange things are happening in this land that once was free. So brother, I ask you, are you going to stand by me?
You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, we're back. Let's see. I was looking at a deal on Facebook here, somebody trying to get on the show. All right, let's see. Let me get back into the swing of things here. Five people arrested in Washington, D.C. today, or the story came out today. They were stopped before it took place, but they had planned an ambush on police. Five people, two men, three women. It took quite a while to get them to, we had this spike strips and everything, I guess, and got them stopped. Finally, they gave up, and they found out that they had planned on attacking police. So, there you have it. A little bit of good news, though. It looks like a court in Chicago has ordered the city of Chicago. This is an older one. That's why I'm trying to clean all this out. We probably talked about that when it happened. We won't even go into that one. That's why I had the news blitz last night, trying to get all this stuff under control here. For those of you that get on Facebook and you see a, you know, we expect that people will be honest with us and that there's not a bunch of anal orifices out there that will misguide us and put untruthful things on there, but it is rampant. It's all the time. And one of those things, it's been out, originally came out, I believe, in 2014. I know it was out once in 2015. Now it's out again. And this is the thing about major food corporations using tissue from aborted babies to manufacture flavor additives in processed food. Natural News is not what they appear to be. They're not a satire site. They're more of a BS site as often as not. They do have some good things on there. But, you know, if something sounds a little more terrific than it really is, or more than you think it ought to be, then you research it in some other places and find out. I've caught them in several lies. One of them had pertained to colloidal silver and this deal here. This actually goes back to about 2011, 2012. And at that time, there was some pro-lifers. Actually, it goes back quite a bit farther than that. But in 2012 is when a group of pro-lifers lifted their boycott against Pepsi and them after they said that they would not use these cells from aborted babies for flavor enhancers. Well, it's not, you're not drinking the cells, you're not drinking the tissue. There is no babies. It was baby. They had one healthy male aborted fetus that back in the 70s, 40 years old. And they get single cells off of this to research with. There was research done, but those cells never actually went into products that people consumed. Does that make it okay? No, it doesn't. But it is the truth. And so if you're going to start talking about this, tell the truth. Don't sensationalize it. No, it's not okay. It's not okay that they aborted the baby to start with. But that's not the point here. The point is they make it sound like they're taking aborted baby flesh and making your Pepsi taste good, which is just retarded. It's stupid. So if you see that, don't spread it. Just tell people, whoever sent it to you, to go do some research and quit being part of the solution instead of part of the problem. When I was in the Army, we had certain times of the year, I believe it was March and October, when we could roll our sleeves up or down. And if it was that time of the year, and it got cold and your sleeves were up, unless the commander told you, they stayed up. Well, in 2005, they changed that. The sleeves were down all the time. Don't matter the heat or whatever. Now, we were allowed to work in the shop and stuff in T-shirts. Of course, we couldn't go to formation or go to the, you know, the PX or to chow or anything else in a T-shirt, but we could work in T-shirts. Well, in 2005, evidently they changed that, and I didn't know about that. Well, they've changed it back now, so, and I think this is so funny. That they're telling you can roll your sleeves up based on, you know, if your commander says it's okay. And you roll them up just exactly the way we did back in the 80s, and that is rolling them up with the camouflage out, and it looked pretty sharp. I've got some good pictures, I think, of me with my sleeves rolled up like that. And they tell you just exactly how you have to do it, and sleeves may be down and cuffed upon commander approval and only during field training exercises, and blah blah blah. So long article explaining what you can. It's just funny that they spend all this time and effort figuring out if you can roll your sleeves down or not, or up. They said more than 62% of the 54,641 votes were in favor of Camo out. 28% voted for Camo in. That means when you roll it up, the camo's still showing or not. And 10% voted against rolled sleeves at all. Those 10% must not have been in Iraq or Hawaii or whatever. So that's the big deal going on right now. That's how your tax money's being spent for the time being. And I'm a firm believer that, particularly in a combat area, your sleeves should be down. When you're in, but surely you're smart enough to roll them down when you're in Fort Polk or somewhere out in the mosquitoes and whatnot. And I do believe in uniformity in formations. I don't care how you walk around post and around doing your job or your, free time or whatever. I don't really care. In formations, you should be uniform and all looking the same. And in combat, you should have your sleeves down. But other than that, who really cares? Well, evidently, somebody in the Army really cares. But it wasn't me, I promise. I really didn't care. Let's see here. This is, I'll have to get this for you later. I'm going to put this on a sound bite and let you hear it. We didn't talk about this too much. Let me check my chat room here before we get too far away here and see what's going on. See if we need to address anything here. Wow, Kilogram, that's too bad. It's going through Walmart and every other woman wearing a hijab or whatever you call them. Yeah. Didn't know that. Let's see. There comes the telemarketers again. Let me see if I can stop this here. Hang on. Alright. Same one last night. Or whatever it was. Friday. But, we talked about the constitutionality of using a bomb on an American citizen. Yes, he was a terrorist. Yes, some people were saying, I don't care if they use a cruise missile as long as they got him. Well, boy, people are divided horribly on this. More so than, we haven't seen this kind of division. Even when Lavoie was killed, even when they were occupying the refuge, it's much more violent, much more pronounced, I guess is the word, now than it was then. And we've discussed that a little bit already. What we haven't discussed is this was not the first time this has happened. And Kilogram, I believe, I don't know if they, how they delivered it and everything. I mean, it's not the point. The fact is that they used it. I think it sets a very, very dangerous precedent. If we allow this now, under these circumstances, what will happen when the circumstances are a little less violent, a little less, it's not a terrorist, it's one of us out there that got involved in a domestic dispute or some kind or whatever, and they say, instead of even taking a chance on having one cop die, we'll just send in a robot with a bomb. We'll just fly a helicopter over and have a little drone over there and shoot a cruise missile in the house or whatever. So in 1985 in Philadelphia, the MOVE headquarters, MOVE headquarters, It was a, I'm not sure exactly what they were, kind of a militant black group. And they had been having a lot of trouble, you know, neighbors complaining for a long time. Couldn't get them to come out. Quite a few people in there tried everything, evidently. And the mayor and the chief of police okayed a bomb. They actually dropped a satchel charge, a bomb in a briefcase, out of a helicopter on this building where they were at. Okay, well, that's not the worst of it. The worst of it is what they call collateral damage. It happened May 13th, 1985. And before it was all done, there, some of you may remember the guy's name that run this thing was John Africa. And they all the members there, after a little while, all changed their surnames to Africa. Why, I'm not real sure. But anyway, lots of conflict, lots of problems. And 9 members of the group were sentenced to 100 years in prison for killing a police officer. In 1981, the group moved to a row house on Osage Avenue in Philadelphia. So they negotiated with them stuff for a little while, and they decided, well, this is just not working. And they had a fortified bunker on the roof of this house and constantly broadcasting vulgar political things over bullhorns, you know, to the residents around there. So on the morning of May 13th, the police decide that they've been doing this long enough. So in response to the gunfire coming from inside the house, more than 500 police officers discharged over 10,000 rounds of ammunition in 90 minutes. 10,000 rounds of ammo into this house in 90 minutes. The house was hit with the high-pressure fire hoses and tear gas, but they didn't surrender. So despite all the begging and pleading and trying to get them to come out to de-escalate this situation, the police commissioner, well, actually, I guess there was a... police commissioner, let's see, despite pleas for de-escalation to the mayor from city council president Joseph Coleman and the senator, okay, police commissioner ordered to bomb the house. And bomb it they did. The mayor failed to call a halt to it. He knew about it. He knew there were children in there. They were extremely negligent in doing this. When they bombed this house, it was dropped on the house with a 45-second timer, dropped out of the state police helicopter, and they dropped it right close to that fortified bunker that they had on the roof of the house. And in a few minutes, they said the fire had consumed the roof and began to spread. Well, it's one thing to burn the house down that the bad guys were in. That was only part of it. But what happened was they burnt down, let's see if I can find it here. Firefighters, already fearful of being shot at by MOVE members, were told to let the fire burn. The blaze raged out of control, spreading down the block of row houses and hopping the narrow streets. We tried to get one of the survivors said, we tried to get our children, animals, and ourselves out of the blazing inferno, and as the cops saw us coming out, they opened fire. That was one of the girls from the house that they initially bombed. But before it was over, huge fire, and I couldn't even believe what I was reading and what I saw about this. There was dozens and dozens of houses burned, and I think it spread over, let's see if I can find it here, All of the members of the group died, by the way, as you might expect. But trying to see, it looked to me like it was, I thought they said, 61 houses had burned. 4 hours later, 61 houses had been burned to the ground. Apart from the woman and the 13-year-old boy that escaped from the fire, everyone in the original house was killed. 11 deaths included the MOVE founder, John Africa, 5 adults and 5 children between the ages of 7 and 13. But there was never a formal apology, never anything. This was, and so you can't hardly help but, it's not hard to see why these groups have such a tremendous dislike for authority and law enforcement and whatnot. So, anyway, what do we got for time? We still got a minute or two here. Let's see. Let's look at this one. Had an armed citizen in... Nope, we talked about that one last night. That was the armed citizen in Spokane Valley at the bank. Forgot to delete that one out of the mess here. Well, anyway, Doc's going to be on with me again this coming Thursday. Doc's going to be here for the whole hour. We're going to make a quick introduction and get the show started, and Doc's going to be here, and we're going to talk. It's going to be all guns. And that's another thing I'm looking at if we change our schedule, is devoting 1 or more hours a week strictly to gun-related stuff or survival, preparedness, militia, you know, something like that. So, well, but I need to get some input from you guys. I hate to just make the decision here and piss everybody off. So, but Doc will be here Thursday. We're going to talk about some more of his pet peeves. Doc has an immense amount of knowledge concerning guns of all flavors. So between the two of us, like I said, there's going to be some things that I'm not going to completely agree with him on, some things he's not going to completely agree with me on. But maybe the phone lines won't burn down and we can keep the show going for a whole hour. So let's see here. Need to check out the chat room here again. There is so much stuff going on right now. And did you notice that everybody has conveniently forgotten all about Hillary with this latest attack there in Dallas, and attacks all over the country, and it's keeping our mind off of it, I think, pretty efficiently. And I have no question that is by design. What is this? This is July, middle of July. We've got August, September, October, November. We've got about a little less than 4 months. Let's see. Wait a minute. July, August, September, October. Yeah, we've got a little less than 4 months before the election. And I really can't help but think, over the last 10 years, we have talked so many times about what's going to happen with this election, what's going to happen here and there. There are people claiming that there's not going to be an election. I don't believe that. This may be the last one for a while, but I don't believe that there won't be one. Is that a possibility? Yeah, it's a possibility, but it is so far-fetched, so far out there. I don't think that there are 4 months, I don't believe, is nearly enough time to get the entire country under martial law, which is what it would take, as far as I know, to eliminate the possibility of an election. The wars, contrary to popular belief, do not stop elections. There's been elections run during wars several times over the years. So we'll see what happens. I do believe there'll be an election. I do not believe that martial law will happen that soon. I do believe, however, that on or about Election Day, a little before and probably quite a bit after, I think that we are going to see, that kilogram is a given. A rigged election, yeah, that's pretty much a given right there. I'm confident of that. Just like I'm confident that at least the last two elections were also. But there'll be a lot of activity going on, a lot of violence, and how extreme will it get? I don't have any idea. But I can tell you that it has the potential to get pretty damn serious. And I'm not going to say the sky is falling and tell you that everything is going to come to an end here in November or December or January or whatever, between the election and the inauguration. But I will say that it has a very high potential for something dramatic to take place. And the worst that could happen, if you spend a little time and money getting prepared and getting a few extra provisions and stuff stuck back, so what? If nothing happens, big deal. You've got extra stuff for a picnic. You got stuff stored back if a family member gets sick or injured or something. So what? It's not a big deal. You know, it's not like you're wasting your money for no reason. You know, if I was asking you to go out and spend thousands of dollars on some type of electronic equipment just in case, some big electron snowstorm came and ruined your television or whatever. I could see you being a little reluctant to do that, but I'm just talking about food, ammunition, a little extra cash, silver and gold, just a few things. And you don't even have to go all out with your whole life savings, although it's probably not a bad idea. But just a little bit. Get some to keep you. Many of you are going to disregard this plea. The best you can hope for is that you're going to be able to survive and keep your family healthy until FEMA has their stuff set up to help those that can't help themselves. That's not going to be a good thing, okay? But if you don't want to do that, then I would suggest that you get your poop in a group right now. If you're not already prepared, son, you got a long road to hoe. You're going to have to put a lot of money into here in a short period of time. But you better start thinking about it. It's kind of like believing in God, you know. If you don't, and He does, boy, are you sure going to wish you would have. If you do, and He don't, then who cares? You've led a good life, and all is going to be well. So if you store all this stuff up and nothing happens, big deal. You got some extra stuff. If you don't store it up and something happens, yeah, it's going to be a big deal. And with all of that, I think that I will leave you and let you ponder on that a little bit. I will be back tomorrow night. We will start next Monday. We will start with pre-records for both Amy and I. And I need some feedback for what you would like to see the show do. Let me real quickly go through the options here again. We're going to do pre-records on Monday. That probably will be a two-hour show for me, 1 hour for Amy. We'll skip Tuesday, and I'll do either a 2 or 3 hour show on Wednesdays. And that will continue even after Amy comes back, because she doesn't do a show on Wednesday anyway. And I'll do a 2 or 3 hour show on Friday. So Friday's maybe 2 hours of Liberty Lounge and an hour of news to get us caught up. That's one of several options, or well, that's two or three mixed up options there. That would be no show at all for either of us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And, well, no, Amy, I don't know. Amy may be back. I don't know. We'll have to see what, because Amy will be here on Thursday. Oh, no, that's, let me think about that. Yeah, if Amy wants to do it on Thursday, then we'd still have to have her show on Thursday and have mine on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you guys come up with a better idea, we're trying to do something, and with all this, also, we're going to, if I start doing this, I will probably start charging 99 cents for the podcast. And like I said, I'm confident we'll lose a few people, but somehow we've got to start putting a little cash here and there to take care of the things that we need to take care of. There's a donate button up on the right-hand side of the podcast of the chat room there that does not get used. So we're going to have to figure out something else. So let me know what you want. To see, 305 said we need to do another hour for 2 hours. I'm probably not going to do that tonight because I'm not prepared for it. But we'll probably start doing this the 1st of August, whatever we do. Maybe we won't change anything. That's going to be up to you guys. So, Kilogram, sorry, buddy, I don't have a FFL anymore. We're doing pretty much all training right now. But I would recommend going on Gunbroker or Southern Ohio Guns in Ohio, J&G Sales in Arizona, Centerfire Systems in, I think they're in Kentucky now. Those are a few that you can probably find a good, reasonably priced Yugo that's in good shape. Okay, yeah, Classic Firearms, that's another good one. They're in, where are they at? In North or South Carolina, I think, or somewhere back in that part of the country. So, yeah, I don't know who that anonymous is there. That may be C7, I don't know. But, no, I haven't had an FFL since, let's see, August of 2014. Be 2 years next month, I have not had an FFL. I have mildly considered doing it again, getting another one. That I have not decided yet. So, all right, good boy. All right, you guys, let me know, and we'll do our best to accommodate everybody. But we need to be figuring it out pretty soon, because we need to get the word out here and not just drop the bomb on everybody in the middle of the stream here. All right, I'm gone. We'll see you guys later. Thank you very much for joining me.
Been listening to The Shooting Bench. Tune in Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern for the most politically incorrect show on talk radio. Tune in again on Fridays at the same time for 2 hours of classic country music on Liberty Lounge.
Spend some time in San Francisco. And catch Living Way Out Here with me, Amy Reynolds, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the only good news out there. Trivia, stories, tips, hints, and fun on Living Way Out Here, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Bakers.